This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Hi. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Happy Thursday, March 2nd to you. Grizzlies beat the Rockets. The most significant thing, they end their eight-game road losing streak. They take care of business, 113-99. Thank you, Rockets. Good thing is we'll see them twice more before the regular season is over. That'll help you hopefully hold on to a number two seed. Tigers basketball has got what feels like a win this one, and you're probably in the tournament game. More on that later. John Martin's been writing about that. We're going to get into that. Tonight at SMU, Memphis, last I checked, a 6.5-point favorite. That'll be on ESPN2, an 8 o'clock tip. Memphis women secure the number two seed in next week's AAC tournament. Just had Katrina Merriweather on yesterday to get it done against Tulane, 55-44. Highest ever finish in the AAC for the Memphis women. It's been amazing what Katrina's done with that program, certainly, and we're certainly rooting for them heading into next week. They'll get a first-round bye. And then, my gosh, did you hear Bruce Pearl? We're going to have to do that a little later.
Yeah,
because it is worth it.
I know he was upset because
a tough loss to.
I mean, he was
Alabama,
basically having an aneurysm for the entirety of the game. If you're watching it,
change of colors, but he has a tendency to do that.
He does. I mean, the officials were basically having to go over to him every 3 minutes.
Yep.
You know, and say, Bruce, we don't want to do this. Don't make us do this. We don't want to.
He exploded.
But he did. He did. And look, maybe he had good reason. Certainly, he felt like he did. So. Alabama does hold on. They do hold on against Auburn. Tight game, as you might expect in a rivalry game, especially when Auburn was as desperate as it was to get a good win. Needed that one for their resume. Unfortunately, could not get it. But Bruce Pearl, not happy after the game. We'll get to that in just a minute. You mentioned it. Tonight's a big game for Memphis, simply in the sense that you can't really lose it. So the stakes are pretty high, even though SMU is such a bad team, you know. The stakes are pretty high. Memphis is a 6.5-7-point favorite, last I checked, in Kendrick Davis's return to SMU. So we'll get into that here on the show. I actually did talk to a couple of three people whose careers are devoted to getting these things right. And I asked them, I said, how safe is Memphis? What's the ceiling for a seed? You know, when should Memphis feel comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
All that. So I'll share with you what they said here momentarily. Right. Drew Hill is scheduled to join us. Just full transparency here. He's about to fly to Denver, and his flight has been delayed. So we're going to try to catch him at 11:25 before he gets out of here for that rematch against a number one seed in the West. So get into that with Drew Hill at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins is going to join us, and we'll get into Memphis with him, the game tonight, and honestly, also Sunday, right? I mean, we don't play for the
time. It's an event.
It's okay if we look ahead.
Sounds like that thing will be sold out, too.
Yeah, it is, and they're doing like a weird, well, it's not weird, I've just never seen it done before. Each section has to represent a color.
I know my son showed it to me.
Yeah. You're not taking CJ?
No.
We just can't get you back in that building for Tigers. I mean, we're going to keep working. We're going to keep working. That's one of our goals.
I think him bringing it to me, to my attention, was sort of a sign that he's more interested as they've gotten better. Good sign for the Tigers. Mm-hmm. There you go. Keep the mojo going.
Yeah, it's probably.
Yeah, he's like, look at the stripes, Dad. They're going to do a stripe thing. I was like, oh, that's cool. I had not seen that.
It's that the Tigers are playing better, but it's also, you know, that they're hosting the number one team in the country, which they've never done at FedEx Forum. So it's a historic day on Sunday indeed. Maybe Memphis will come out with a win. As you know, that will be a pick'em when that line is posted.
So they say.
Yeah. So anyway, lots to get to on the show today. Before we get into Memphis, however, which there is a lot to dissect there with Memphis, Bruce Pearl was livid after the game last night. And look, I certainly understand. It's a highly contested game. It goes to overtime. It's 90-85. Lots of physicality. You know, there was a scuffle,
a little
there.
Dust up.
Yeah.
Some thought Quinterly should have been ejected.
Well,
for throwing the ball.
He did. I mean, he did do that. I mean, I'll be honest. I was worried Kedrick Davis was going to get thrown out of the game on Sunday when he went for that ball, because he kind of got the guy around the neck a little bit. So I was a little worried about that.
Yeah.
You know, look, I think Javon Quinterly should have been ejected, and I don't. You know, maybe a technical would have been in order right for throwing the ball. That's fair to me. I do think it's kind of crazy the tone deafness of this Alabama team. Like, shouldn't y'all be like choir boys right now? Like, given everything y'all have done this year,
mm-hmm.
I feel like y'all should just like not look for a fight.
Well, we missed that train a long time ago.
Yeah, they're leaning into it clearly. But after the game, highly contested game that goes to OT, Bruce Pearl did an interview with his folks there from Auburn on the radio, and this is how it sounded.
Obviously they made some plays. We had a hard time staying in front of them at the end of the day. I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed!
Talk about the final possession in regulation, Coach. You had the ball with about 25 seconds to go.
Yep, we got a middle ball screen. Wendell got a good look. Their guys, had a clean one. That would have been a great way to end it.
What defensively were you able to do tonight in over a good portion of the game against this Alabama offense?
Played hard. Played physically.
Message.
Did the best job we could to keep off the offensive boards.
Message to your ball club after this one, Bruce.
Just, we played hard, played well. You know, if that's the number one team in the country, you know, come on a road, hostile environment. Yeah, but we needed that one to get the NCAA, and we didn't get it. Dylan Cardwell's hurt. He's probably not going to play against Tennessee because of his injury. We need his physicality. He got fouled down there at the end of the game. So,
Coach, just talk about what Saturday represents now.
Oh, we'll get ready to play Tennessee. We were incredibly outmanned at the end. Had four guys on the bench in foul trouble. Joke.
Yeah, he also lost his big man there at the end in a little bit of a tangle up on the baseline.
It's a joke.
Yeah, I get him because he's now, you know, and this is sort of loosely related to Memphis. What once upon a time looked like a great win.
Where are they in the net?
I think they're still quad one.
I'm sure it's
because it's
50. 70,
it's 50.
50
okay,
on,
yeah,
on neutral floor.
But I mean, they're
out of the 30s. I would think.
Yeah, I think they're getting dangerously close. If the season was 2 months longer, that would not be a quad one.
Well, they were also up double digits in the second half of that game too. So some of that.
No, they controlled it.
Of that's what you gave up, right?
Yeah,
frustration
yeah.
and of having control of that game at one point on the road.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh yeah, you're talking about that game. Yeah, no. Yeah, they looked great.
Dude, they were yeah.
At times in that in
up but, double digits in the second half.
But the talent disparity eventually takes over, and it did here against Auburn. So anyway, Memphis needs Auburn to figure it out. They need Auburn to win the game on whenever it is, Sunday, Saturday, because that would obviously continue to help Memphis's resume, which brings us to
37 now.
37 in the net. Okay, I mean, that should stick.
Oh, they're fine. It'll still be a quad one. They're not dropping out of the top 50.
Yeah, you would think not.
They have spiraled here.
Not enough time left in the season for that to happen. But if it was 2 months longer, they would definitely fall out. Which brings us to Memphis. Memphis taking on SMU tonight. That game, of course, represents really just a landmine for Memphis. 8 o'clock tonight on, I believe,
ESPN2.
ESPN2, yeah. ESPN2, 8 o'clock. SMU's 10-19. They're a bad team. They don't have much to play for. Memphis has everything to play for. Memphis has every reason to win this game and do it comfortably. But I was curious because we see, and over at Bracket Matrix, Memphis is now in 107 out of 107 brackets. They are in every single bracket. We've sort of tracked this as it's progressed. You know, a week and a half ago, they were in like 100 out of 114. Then they're in, you know, 106 out of 114. Well, now they're out of they're in 107 out of 107. So Memphis is in. You know, and I was arguing with Jeff Gunn about this on Field of 68 last night. Like he kept trying to insinuate that if no, Memphis is in. Tournament started right now. Memphis is in. No question about it. No question about it. But I do think there might be a little bit of a difference of opinion of how safe they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is their margin for error? Are they in regardless of what happens? How comfortable should they feel? And I actually talked to three people, not your Joe Lenardis, but three people who, you know, look, this is what they do. Rocco Miller, Andy Bottoms, and Lucas Harkins. And I asked them all those questions. And I'll just read, like, the best of the responses. I said, is Memphis in as an at-large, assuming Tigers don't lose to SMU tonight? I got one answer I think Memphis is going to like, and then I got one answer that I think Memphis is not going to like.
Okay.
So I'll read you both. Rocco Miller said the following. Almost certainly, yes. Memphis today sits about 10 teams above the cut line. Their resume is mostly solid from the road win department. A neutral win over NCAA-bound Auburn and mixed in as a well-aged win over Texas A&M. The winning away neutral record of 9-6, Memphis has winning records in a couple of important bubble-based measurables like top two quads and AN record. That's away and neutral. The only iffy loss is home to Tulane, and quite frankly, the Tigers appear to be much more solid as a body of work than many of the other options out there, as evidenced by its 25th-ranked strength of record. So there you go. That is
sounds about right.
Yeah. But I will say, I asked Andy Bottoms, who does bracketology for Field 68, and he had a little bit of a more cautious tone.
Okay, let's hear it.
He said, I wouldn't go so far as to say that quite yet, because a loss to Houston and a loss in their first AAC tournament game might still be enough to bounce them. The challenge is that they have just two wins against the at-large field as of now, and even though four of their losses are in Quad 1 and Quad 2, they have five losses to teams outside of the at-large picture. And five of their nine Quad 1 and Quad 2 wins are in the lower part of Quad 2. And as always this time of year, it depends on what other teams do around them. And when we start talking about what does that mean, well, Lucas pointed out the CUSA is one of those leagues where that could be a bit stealer. Because if UAB or, you know, somebody like that, or North Texas, for example, wins Conference USA, you got to feel like Florida Atlantic probably gets in regardless as an at-large, because they've been in the top 25 for most of the season. So they have an at-large. You really need Florida Atlantic to win. And this is sort of assuming a scenario where you don't beat Houston and you lose in the quarters, right? This is the only scenario where I think it would even get remotely sweaty. But if CUSA had somebody not named FAU win, if the CAA had somebody not named Charleston win the CAA tournament, you know, those are two bids right there. But if we're talking about 10 spots above the cut line, there's not going to be 10 bid stealers. There's just not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we start there, I mean, the only way you would, to me, fall 10 spots between now and next Sunday is if you lost three in a row. I mean, that's the only way I could possibly see it at this point, you know? And I don't think
Which is frankly what Tulane has done, and the reason that tonight you can nail down the number two seat.
Right.
Tulane's lost three in a row, including to East Carolina.
Yeah.
So you've got a chance now to lock down number two. No, John, I'm closer to the former. And it's not just because it's more positive in that sense. I think that's where they're at. I mean, you know, this team, the facts are they're 9-6 in quad one and two opportunities. They've only got the one blemish, and I know now it looks a little worse because of the way Tulane's finishing the season. At one point, we were saying that's not as bad a loss as it looks. Yep. There, quad three loss still, but I think overall body of work. You mentioned the non-conference strength of schedule, the fact that they're 4-1 against the SEC. All the facts point to that your former guy there is is closer to the to what it is. I think they're safe, and again, I think tonight locks it in for you.
Yeah, I tend to agree because you got to find, you know, if we start with 10,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find 10 teams that
no.
are more deserving
no.
than Memphis?
No.
You're not. The bubble is not that damn hard. Mm-hmm. It's just not. I mean, you know, could a team like Wisconsin or Arizona State get in too? Sure, but I just feel like with what Memphis has done, finishing second in the AAC, which is what they're on track to do right now, and what they would do, like you said, with a win tonight against SMU, they're in. It's not gonna. You can't say that.
Solidly ahead is the second best team in the AAC, which was
right.
always really going in the year. The goal. The question was how high a seed could that get you?
Right.
Do any of your guys feel like there's a cap at seven? Is
so
you can't go any? You know, is that too high?
I asked that. I said, what is the best possible seed in Memphis to get it up with? Because I figured you would ask that question.
Absolutely.
Because you asked the tough ones. You're like the 92.9 Barbara Walters.
We need to know the other side.
Yeah.
In terms of if things go well.
So Rocco Miller said, before tonight, Memphis was my top 10 seed. This was last night.
Mm-hmm.
And 37th overall on the board. Mm-hmm. There is a major cluster of teams between 24 and 39 that aren't easy to separate. Most of those teams will not get a crack at a superior win like Houston. That would give Memphis an exclamation point on its resume. And with that range I provided, you can't rule out they get all the way to a 6 seed. Still, it's more likely a 7 is the ceiling here.
I think that's the 7.
Yeah, and then
is the
Lucas top. Lucas Harkin said the same thing, 7 or 8. So,
okay.
You know, look, if you run the table, I think they're going to end up probably as a 7. If you win every game the rest of the way,
yep.
win the AAC tournament, you're
like
probably
that.
A 7.
I like that. I like 7. I like 10. I don't like 8. I don't like 9.
No, depending, outside chance at 6, but I don't see
Mm-mm.
it. I don't see it.
I mean, if you beat Houston twice here.
Yeah, you'd have to do it twice.
Yeah. Beat them in the finals.
But that's
as well as the regular season.
Incredibly unlikely.
Sure.
Because that may take them off the one line.
I feel a lot better about that the chance of that after watching that first game. The fact that you hung as close as you did there without Kendrick Davis.
I mean, I feel good about
but still,
home
come there. On, the idea you're going to win both of them, still, that's the number one team in the country.
Right. And that's a neutral site.
That's fighting for the overall number one. Realize Alabama held on to that last night.
Yeah.
But Houston's, everything we've looked at is the second number one.
Yeah.
So they can't afford to drop anything off. They're still fighting for overall number one seed.
Yeah, I go back and forth on Alabama, too.
Like, I see, because you've said, eh, and then what did it say last night?
Yeah.
How'd that go, by the way, with Goodman and the guys on field 68?
I thought it went pretty well. I mean, who knows, really?
Well, you had Goodman with a Memphis hat on. That looks like progress to me.
Yeah, no,
was he just being sarcastic?
No, he was trolling. He was
of course he was.
He was trolling.
Of course he would. Then just tell Memphis, did you straighten him out?
Oh, I think I did. But, he believes.
That's what we should have the clip of.
He believes he always wins every argument. You know, what I said ultimately is that we got to get Jeff Goodman out of San Antonio. Like, he's still there.
Oh, the old days, yeah.
He's still in San Antonio in 2008.
Covering that Memphis team.
We left him there.
I got you.
I
picked up on that one quick.
We got to bring him back,
mm-hmm.
right, to ultimately. This isn't me dumbing down the expectations for Memphis.
Yep.
It's, like, how can we fairly square what this job should be year to year? It is not an outlier, a four-year outlier in a 111-year history. It's just not,
mm-hmm.
you know. So his whole thing was, you know, well, Memphis, the only person whose expectations are out of whack in this case are Jeff Goodman's. Because I think
the crowd cheer?
Oh, they loved it.
Oh, yeah.
They loved it. Jeff Goodman is people love it when Jeff Goodman gets his.
Putting his place on his
yeah,
own.
They yeah, they love it, man. So, yeah, no, it was.
Good job, John.
It went well. I got a couple things I got to address there, man. I got to get the microphone situation figured
it's
out.
It's very dark.
I got
to
get
dark in
light.
That corner of your home.
So, if
yeah,
anybody
you
knows, you know, how we can. Can you just install a light anywhere in a ceiling?
No, man. Sane gave me one, man. They got these little cheap lights you can put up just around where you're. It'll brighten up the whole thing.
Yeah, but I had a ring light. It didn't really, clearly did not do the job.
Well, mine ain't a ring. It's a bigger one than that.
Yeah.
But it's still portable and easy to carry. You just plug it in instead of having to, you know, finagle something up on the ceiling for yourself. What,
yeah.
what part of your home is that? The basement?
No, that's my personal room there.
Your personal darkness retreat.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Aaron.
That's exactly
that's
what
that is. That's where you go to do what? Watch college basketball all night?
That's right.
And hit your 11 straight bets?
Joe! Smashed!
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I do, man. That's exactly what I do. But yeah, I got to get. So you can't just install a light in a ceiling anywhere.
I'm sure Goodman and Childress had a lot to say about that, because that's what I would have said if I was on the show. Like, I'm not talking to this guy in this darkness. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, well, you know, we've done those things with Goodman before, and he's complained about the lack of light.
Couldn't even barely see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I gotta figure that out, man. I've got some track lighting. We got some track lighting in here too. You know, people are always like, track lighting is the way of the past. Track lighting is convenient, man.
If you're gonna go national, you gotta have a spotlight on.
That's right.
Last night you're national, and it was dark.
That's right. That's exactly.
And yet you still performed.
Hey. The conditions don't matter, man.
Because that's actually how you like it, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
You like to do it in the dark.
Welcome to the dark. That's what it is with me. Mm. So, anyway, yeah, it was a good day. It was a good night. And Memphis has a big opportunity against SMU later tonight to cement
I think so.
Their tournament status. And that will set up one of the – I mean, you know, is it where does it rank in the pantheon of big games for Memphis on Sunday? Is it top 5, top 10? I mean, how many cracks has Memphis had at the number one team in the country? Not many.
When you ask where it ranks in terms of opportunity, in terms of, I mean,
regular season.
Because if we're just talking about this gets you to a 6 seed possibly, if you can finish them off in the conference finals too, like, you know, 7.
Yeah.
Then there's sort of a limit here, right, in terms of what's to gain.
Regular season, I think it's got to be top 10.
Top 10 is easy to put it in, I'm sure. You got the number one team coming in the forum for the first time. Well, number one opponent.
Well, you know, the Arkansas at the
you've been one.
Right. So that's one, you'd mm-hmm. say. Tennessee 1-2 is number one.
Yeah. You've been one. Your opponent has not been one in the
right,
forum.
Right.
Arkansas came to the pyramid.
Right. So would you say this one is ahead of the Arkansas game? Because of what it might mean?
Both those teams were powers. You know, even back then, both of those programs with where they were, and you can't give that to Memphis right now, right? I don't think you can. So, I'd put it beneath that.
Yeah, I don't know. I
don't know. This is gonna be good for their turnstile count too. Number two for their average.
Yeah, gotta be
this. And I imagine that Cincinnati game was helpful as well in terms of staying over that 6,000.
Now it's 12 with the Grizzlies. So, you know, how many that were there, who knows?
Well, this will be an announced 18, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, it will, because you can't even get tickets.
Less than 1,000 short?
Yep, less than 1,000 tickets.
Woo!
So they sold them all, I mean, or, you know, the majority of them.
And what's that line going to be again, John?
It's going to be a pick.
All right.
It's going to be a pick. At worst.
I can't wait to see. We'll get that Saturday night, you think? I'll be looking.
Yeah, late Saturday night.
Okay, yeah. I think I'll be looking for it.
Yeah. It is. It's a point of pride. I want to see, like, how – because, again
– John says it's
a pick 'em. If I'm super wrong,
I don't even think Brad believes that one. And he believes most of what you say.
If I'm super wrong, that's no problem, because I'll get a much better number than I anticipated.
Well, get ready for that.
I don't want to have to bet Memphis at a pick 'em. That's tough, man. You know, I mean, Xavier just went into Providence and beat Providence at their place last night. Like, good teams can win on the road, and Houston is great. So if I get 6 points,
unranked Memphis pick 'em against the number one team in the country. Okay. I can't.
College basketball is a wacky sport.
It sure is.
You know?
But that's going to be correction, because Kendrick missed that when you saw how close it was.
It's 100%.
John has explained this all week to us, so we're schooled. We just need the anticipation.
Well, it's not even –
we just need to see the number.
Look, if I'm a bookmaker –
here we go.
Okay? If I'm a bookmaker and I'm good at what I do, then I'm going to take historics into account as well. Beyond just the last game, the last meeting, I'm going to also take into account the fact that Penny has beaten Kelvin 3 times. Since he's been the coach at Memphis, right? Mm-hmm. And that even though Houston routinely wins the league and at the end of the day winds up going further than Memphis, when these two teams meet, it's like two walruses. You know, they lock tusks. It's always just a battle, a battle for the ocean.
You got two problems here. You're wrong. It's going to be 3.5 to 5.5. We said it was going to be in the first place. And number two, you're looking past tonight's game.
I'm not worried about tonight's game.
Which you're falling victim to that. Stop it.
Kendrick is not letting them folks lose.
We got
tonight.
Time. We got time to talk about it again tomorrow.
But two,
after the win. Stop. Stop. Stop.
When two walruses get together, I mean, you know, that's a meeting of the Titans. You know, so I would say, based on those things, I was 7 points off the number against Houston. In the first meeting, 7 points off, as a book, I was 7 points off the number in the first one. That was with no Kendrick Davis. So I'm 7 off. And I'm missing the starting point guard leading score. That's going to be 11 off the rip. I haven't even added in home court yet. That's 3. right? And I might even say 3.5 for a place like FedEx Forum. Pick 'em. That's how I get to pick 'em. That's how I go from 15.
I wish we had the pearl drop. It's a joke.
It's not a joke. That's all. Okay, look. What was the market 7 points off? Was it?
Dude, Elijah McCann scored 20 in the second half. You scored 43 against Houston, a top 10 defense in the country.
They adjusted, though.
You think that?
They adjusted.
You think there wasn't a little bit of fluke in it? Yeah, Memphis adjusted.
Good
we gave Penny Hardaway all the credit in the world. You think that would happen again?
So, look,
come on.
It won't have to happen.
You can't
again.
Do that in college basketball.
Let me ask you that. I can play the game
point
with you.
To one
you
thing
think Memphis going to have 14 turnovers in the first half?
Hey, that's how I'm feeling right now.
You think Memphis is going to have 14 turnovers in the first half? No. That's not going to happen either.
You have built this house all week long.
I'm going to live in it. And you are not invited. Right?
We find out Saturday night.
Yeah, we do. Can we do a special show, Brad? But can we do like a 30-minute show?
Okay. Stay left.
Thank you. It is not going to be no pick 'em. I cannot believe you're still out here trying to spin that mess.
What if it's plus two? Is that a pick 'em?
We said 3.5 to 5.5, period. We're where we're at. You're where you're at. Don't try to move the goalpost so we can get it back closer to what you want here.
Plus one is a pick 'em. Will you give me plus one?
It ain't going to be plus one.
Well, it's plus one to pick them, effectively.
You said a pick them to start, John. You're trying to move so you'll be less wrong. That's all this is.
Okay.
I'm done with it.
If it's plus one.
Joke.
If it's plus one, who's right?
Smash! I'm done.
Auburn head coach Bruce Pearl joining us.
I'm done.
Well, especially after this 40-point D down.
You're going to make me revisit this tomorrow after they take care of SMU. That's right. So at least say, let's get to Drew Hill and the Grizzlies and Ja Morant, please.
Yeah, we'll get to Drew Hill. I believe he'll be doing it from a plane.
Oh,
he'll be.
We'll be lucky to catch him.
Okay. No, he's on. I've been in contact.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, so,
you guys are both y'all colleagues.
Yeah, so we'll get to that when we come back. Drew Hill on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Yeah, it's Brad Carson here in studio running the board for our friends at the Betley Sportsbook. I'll tell you what isn't a pick'em game. That is tonight's Memphis game. Memphis is favored. The SMU game, and you can wager on Memphis tonight on the Betley Sportsbook. Get your college games there, Betley, B-E-T-L-Y, legal in Arkansas and Tennessee, so you can do business like you've always done in Arkansas. They were the first in Arkansas, Jonesboro, West Memphis. You got Marion. You folks can wager on the Betley Sportsbook. Download Betley, B-E-T-L-Y, from the same folks at the Southland Casino over there in West Memphis. Now, it's legal here in Tennessee, so you can download and get $250 risk-free for your first wager in the state of Tennessee. Download Betley Sportsbook. It's got all the great technology and the stuff that many of the apps we've seen out there have, but it's got so much more. One of the things I like the most about using Betley myself is the promotions tab. In fact, tonight, I think the one I'm going to go with is a boosted, and all these things in the promotions tab are boosted. It's the Clippers-Warriors game. Clippers -3.5, Paul George over. And they've got a prop parlay there with the Clippers from +425 boosted to +465. So these wagers in the Betley in the promotions tab get you more money. UFC, they've got college hoops in there, UCLA, USC, and the Memphis game is obviously in the college basketball section too. And the NBA games as well. Everything's there in the Betley app, new and downloadable here in the state of Tennessee. Must be 21 or older to bet using the Betley Sportsbook. Arkansas or Tennessee, play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700, the Betley Sportsbook.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He is about to be en route to Denver. Do you think we're going to get to a point in, you know, I don't know, the next 15, 20 years, Drew, where, like, we can make cell phone calls on the plane, or can we already do that?
I don't know. I've never been able to do that. So, fortunately, I'm just sitting here on the plane right now. People are loading on here. So, you may hear some announcements in the background. Do not be alarmed. All is well. Although, we did get smashed this morning with two different delays.
So yeah, you did.
There I am. I'm glad I was able to make it on the plane.
Yeah, what a joke, right?
And make it on the radio.
What a joke that you had that delay to worry about. Hey, if you were going to make an announcement about the Memphis Grizzlies right now, much like your pilot is making right now, what announcement would that be?
They are about to embark on a 3-game road trip that they very much need. I mean, they need to get a win out of one of these 3 games here. I think with the Denver game in particular, it's an opportunity to get a signature win. I was looking at the road schedule earlier today, and essentially what I found was that they've only beat 3 winning teams on the road this season. Two of those happened before all 3 of them happened before the turn of the new year. Probably their best road win so far is a win over the Kings back on October the 27th.
Yep.
Unless you want to count a win over the Suns, like right before Christmas, but they didn't have Devin Booker, so I should count. They need a signature road win. They need to prove to us that this road record and these road struggles is kind of inconsequential for the season, but they just hit a rough patch, and that's why the record is what it is. They need to prove that to us. And so if I'm making an announcement, that's the announcement I'm making.
What's been the key, Drew, to the defensive sort of getting back to what they do? I think last 8 games, 6-2, it's around 104 points per game that they're allowing. Previous 9, when they went 1-8, it was like at 117. So a significant improvement defensively over the last 8 games in particular. 2 of your last 3, you've held below 100, including Denver. What's been the key to you?
I think it's been a lot of shooting goals, honestly. Like the fact that they were able to just get a little bit lucky and have these teams not make a bunch of threes in the game. I felt like during that rough patch, that was a big point of that was a problem, was that other teams were just shooting really well against them. And then you've also sort of learned life without Steven Adams for a while now.
Yeah.
Their determination has been awesome. Like, I think they're going to have real questions when Steven Adams comes back about whether or not they can play Xavier Tillman. I don't think that they will in the end. I think they're just going to decide not to play him. So they're just going to take Steven Adams, put him in the rotation, and take Xavier Tillman, put him back on the end of the bench. But that should be a difficult decision based on the way that he's playing right now. Like, he's clearly built up some chemistry with Ja. He's holding his own against these big guys. Like, that's definitely a big part of the defense as well. Like, you know, Xavier Tillman, I believe, was like plus 34 over those first 3 games back from the All-Star break. And, you know, Jokic was minus 9 and Anthony Davis was minus 20. So he's been just as good as those stars in the league, or he's at least held his own against the stars in the league. It's a big part of their defense. And it should create a pretty big question when Steven Adams comes back. Can you find a way to play him?
So Ja's lawyer wants to sue the Washington Post. They're seeking legal recourse after, an errant tweet, which, you know, I understand given everything that Ja is doing. He's the face of Powerade. He's the face of Nike. He's Jason's favorite player. He has a reputation to uphold here. But there was a little bit of a – I don't know. I saw this from Dan Wolkin that, you know, the local media has to start covering Ja differently. As a member of the local media, like, what do you make of all of this? And I don't know how much there is to make of it, but just from somebody who's reporting the day-to-day, like, how have you approached all of this?
Well, I've sort of tried to take it at face value, all of it. I think you take at face value what the attorneys are saying and what his representation is saying. And I think at the same time, like, those police reports exist, right? It's not like these incidents didn't happen. Some of the details on them may be foggy, but so it is definitely time. Like, this is crazy now, right? And it's reached a point where everybody's sort of watching to see what he does. And, like, you know, if I'm Ja, I'm trying to get my people together and I'm saying, like, and I think he started to do this, but, like, let's not forget.
I think we lost
my people together. I'm getting my people together, and I'm saying, like, we can't have any more. I don't want to be in the news anymore. I want to find a way to try to fly under the radar as much as I can. Like, let's try to stay as far out of the news as we possibly can. And so I get what Dan is saying. I understand. I think we did write a story. We also included the lawyer's statements. I don't know how
there's a more fair way to cover this
right.
than to just include all the information you have
yep.
and put it out there. It's not my job to report opinions like Dan Wilkins. You know, Dan Wilkins tweeting about drinking mushroom coffee now or whatever yesterday. Like, I think in the end, all we can do is put out the information that we have. I was the one at the press conference that asked Taro Jenkins and asked John Morant about these things. Like, I'm not here for that criticism. I
appreciate it, man. Hey, we're going to let you get after it. You're about to take off for Denver.
Drew, thank you.
Get the mushroom coffee, all right? Get the mushroom
coffee. No mushroom coffee.
Okay.
Man, drinking that crap. Right.
Thanks, bro.
Yep.
See you guys.
Yep, he is Drew Hill, covers Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, which I do sympathize with his position, and you've been there before, too, like having to, you know, report on things like this. You know, you're trying to maintain relationships as well. I mean, you burned plenty of bridges when you reported the stuff about Shaq Goodwin and how he didn't look at Pastner as a father figure or whatever it was.
Had no relationship with his coach after 4 years.
Right. And then you never talked to Josh ever again.
No, Josh actually texted me yesterday.
Oh, because he beat the case. That was a long process, my man.
Dude, he had a lot. Ron Bell had accused him of a lot of things, as you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I appreciate Drew Willen.
Josh's record's finally
hit back. I mean, Dan Wilkin over here tweeting about mushroom coffee and telling people how to cover John Morant. I mean, that is a tough look there. I will say, like, I don't think John Morant has not been, you know, covered. You know, I don't think the story has been treated. You know, because I've read Jeff say you need to, grow up, essentially. I read Giannotto write yesterday who said you need to make a choice here. I've read Drew and others. I mean, I feel like it has been covered pretty fairly. And you know, we'll see. I don't know if you're going to really sue the Washington Post here.
Yeah, because that tweet was pulled back and everything else, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's that, you know, that she said he pointed the gun, which clearly is not in any reports or alleged from any side.
Yeah. But I just, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like.
Well, here's the thing. You don't need a new speech about John must do right because we said the
We've
same
already
thing.
Already done it. Yeah.
And these cases were from the same time, July.
Yep.
And so we can do that and go through the motions and everything else, so y'all got to tighten it up.
Yeah, it's not a new
We said the same
incident.
Version of that yesterday as we got out of here as this story broke from the Washington Post and the new detail about the gun, and then you've got the mall incident. But it's still the same speech.
That's exactly right.
To Ja, and hopefully, again, so long as there aren't, and Harrington made the point, he's absolutely right, no recent incidents, right? Because that's what we said, you got to learn from this. These happened this summer, relatively close in time, and you've hoped that Ja's already learned from and addressed the behavior. Now, you know, it doesn't help when you've got the additional Pacers incident, right, that goes along, that you've had that too. You know, that was actually the last time we weighed in and said you got to tighten up. But, yeah, man, hopefully he's taking a cue. I know on the court, and I was hearing this from folks that have been in that locker room, Jeff's talked about being in, that he's given them, you know, after that Lakers win, he ain't given the media much. And so I think you'll maybe see a change, you know, for better or for worse, with him both on and off. You know, what he says to the media is probably feeling, you know, at this point, piled on at this point. So he's got a certain energy for them. But then also on the court, let's be real, Ja's been that 28-point third quarter, like he's playing angry is my point. And so in the end, like I mentioned yesterday, maybe in some of this focus, I got to tighten up, whatever change too, you see a more aggressive, angrier Ja Morant, more locked in, that's you know, giving you what you need in terms of trying to hold on to this two seed too. So hopefully it's not, my point is it's not just a growth in terms of you as a professional,
right,
but also, too, you benefit from Ja feeling a little bit attacked here. You get a better brand of basketball from him, too. I mean, look at how he's played here of late.
No, he's been great. He's been great.
Played angry.
And I'm with you. Like, I think because the incidents were not, you know, they were not really isolated incidents. They kind of happened in the same span.
These two that the Post are talking about.
Yeah,
yes.
like it'd be one thing if this information was, like, new, like if it happened, like, a month ago or 2 weeks ago.
Well, then you got Ja in a pattern.
Right.
Right. This was from both this summer and that they're both reporting on, the Post is reporting on. And again, we did that speech that Ja's got tight. And it is. It's you can't have this. Certainly. And on a day where you should be talking about Ja's relationship with Powerade, you know, the others that have made the point are absolutely right. You can't you can't have a foot in both worlds here. You know, the mess and then a foot in the professional guy, and you're a face of a brand. So he gets that at this point. And at this point, I'd be surprised, because you must be hearing it from everywhere, whether it's Nike, whether it's Powerade, whether it's the Grizzlies, whether it's your family, whatever else. I'd be surprised if you have more of this, right? Ja rolling up nine deep somewhere, you know, like he did at the mall incident. Wouldn't you? Like that would be, you know, for a guy that's worth as much and even more potentially of what could come in terms of career earnings, I would think this is a quick lesson. You get more incidents of that? Yeah, we'll have to, you address it then.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly what you have to do. And I honestly don't expect it. I don't. I mean, I think he now, you know, like the stakes are just way too high. And if you didn't know then, now your shoe's out. Now your campaign with Powerade's launched. Like, if it ain't set in now that you got to start moving like a whole different way.
Yeah.
And I think the people around him.
100%.
You know what I mean? They
attorneys included.
Bro. Yes.
We're not talking about somebody that's been in and out of trouble all his life and walks that line all the time of trying to stay out of trouble. You know what I'm saying? Try to hold on to a contract in the league. You're talking about a dude who's got a chance to be the face of the league. And in terms of marketing, be right up there with the best in four or five years. So that kind of common sense got to hit you quick.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Because he must be hearing it, like I said, all the time at this point. So hopefully the behavior, you know, it changes. So the approach changes.
Yeah. All right. We will come back on the show. Jeff Cox is going to join us at 1:25. Oh, buddy, we got to talk about what happened for the first time since 2007 in college basketball. It was so bad. It was so bad that the coach involved didn't even want to fulfill his media obligations post-game. That's how bad it was. Mm. It stung. Tell you about it when we come back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Birthdays, birthdays, birthdays. Maybe you're looking for a way to celebrate that young basketball fan's birthday. Well, we got the perfect solution. Shoot 360 right here in Memphis, 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville. You can get the multi-court rentals, which is two shooting courts and two skills stations for 2 hours, use of a private room during those 2 hours, or you can just rent the whole thing out. The full facility, 60 or 90 minutes, you get access to 8 shooting courts, 8 skill stations, 1 half court. A lot of opportunities, a lot of options out at Shoot 360. Reach out today.
Yeah, you can take over the place for your child's birthday. Guarantee you CJ will be out at 1. Or you can get them a membership out there. Get them unlimited access. They can be out there all day long, especially as we got summer approaching, right? Want to get your kids into something positive. Well, Shoot 360's got everything they need. John's mentioned the state-of-the-art training equipment, the development coaches. They've even got the weight training. So they're going to get better in there. You're not going to be paying an arm and a leg. They got membership options for whatever the budget. So here's the point. If your kid loves basketball, get them out to Shoot 360. It's a basketball haven. It's the future of basketball training in Memphis. The future is now at Shoot 360. Go have a birthday party out there at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
So you mentioned it before the break. For the first time since 2007, okay, we got to go back to, is that Tubby? Is that still Tubby? Or is that Billy Clyde?
Well, hello there.
That Kentucky?
Yeah, it's close. It's close. But for the first time since 2007, Vanderbilt went into Lexington.
Oh, yeah, stacked.
Went into Rupp. It was Billy's first. No, I mean, if that would have been 07, that would have been Tubby's final season, right? So we're going to go 06, 07. Billy Clyde got there in 07, right? So that'd be 07, 08. So this would be Tubby's final season. That's how long it's been.
Mm.
Vanderbilt goes into Rupp Arena and wins the game out.
Coach Cal?
Right. Jerry Stackhouse deserves a lot of credit. I think there's equal blame to distribute and credit to distribute as well in this, because a lot of times what happens in the media is like we're going to focus on the negative, which is the Kentucky disaster, and it is a real element, and it is a real story. But I got to give credit to Stack, because you know this is a guy who has gotten a lot of criticism and a lot of heat.
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't really been
up to snuff, honestly, until this season. But I think he's showing that he's a really good, in-game coach. You know, I don't know if you were watching it, but at the end of the game, Kentucky ties it up 66-66. And rather than take a timeout with, 15 seconds or whatever it is to drop a play, Stack fakes the timeout. Basically, the guy darts to the sideline, but then he pulls it back, right? And Kentucky's kind of like totally caught off guard, and they end up getting a really good shot at the free throw line, which Wright sticks, and Memphis wins the Vanderbilt wins the game. It feels like Memphis. Let's be honest, it's a win for Memphis when this happens.
No question.
But Vanderbilt wins the game, 68-66. And afterward, I think Cal did like one segment on his post-game radio show. Says he's tired.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.